Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, baby!
You know what time it is. It is time to rock, and this is the podcast that always rock, and the podcast will rock. That is right. We are the show that dives into each track by one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Kammeyer. Join with me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, how are you doing?
I am warm and dry at the moment. I can't say the same for outside. Right now where I live in Saskatchewan, which is a province in Canada, we are getting hit with a massive winter snowstorm. So winds are over 60 miles an hour. That's over 100 kilometers an hour. Snow. There's no visibility because of the wind. It's just absolutely crazy. So I'm happy to be here, happy to be inside, happy to have power. If for some reason you lose me, it's because we lost power, but you might even actually hear the wind coming through my microphone here. It is that strong.
This potentially might be an episode where we record it multiple times, depending on how things go, but we could not be from more separate parts of the world, because it's just now starting to feel like the autumn season over here in the southern United States. So, more power to you for just, living up to the name, the Great White North up there, because it hits you at least relatively early. But at least, I mean, what do I know, right? I'm from down here, you're from up there. Crazy stuff. But as long as you're warm, as long as you're safe, everything is all good.
You and I should switch for a change. You come up to Canada and try and survive a Canadian winter. I'd love to be down south.
Hey,
enjoy a Southern American winter.
I don't need to tempt me with a good time, man. I've been trying to get up to Canada for a while now. I've just never had the legitimate excuse to get up there other than the usual things, which, baked goods, all the maple syrup I could possibly want, and this little tiny place called Tim Hortons that everyone from your part of the world just keeps raving about. Apparently I haven't lived until I've had a Tim Hortons coffee, so that's on the agenda one day. So one day I'll make my way up there. So let's before we get into the show, let's just sort of let's get all loosey-goosey. How was your weekend?
You know what? I had a good weekend. My parents celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary this weekend.
Congrats, yeah.
Yeah, they live in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. So my brother and sister and my family, we all met up in Moose Jaw, and we did something cool. I don't know if you know this, Mark, but Moose Jaw is known as Little Chicago because in the time of Prohibition, Al Capone used to run booze out of Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. There's a rail line that connects Chicago with Moose Jaw. And so he actually constructed a bunch of underground tunnels under the city of Moose Jaw. And we went on a tour of those tunnels. It's called the Tunnels of Moose Jaw. And we got to see how the Rum Runners used to run booze out of Moose Jaw through these tunnels and then onto a rail line called the Soo Line and down to Chicago. So it was really interesting.
If I ever knew that, it must have been in passing from a story maybe Kevin Smith was talking about at one point. But no, I did not know that. That's very, very cool. Very interesting. Yeah.
So well, there's something cool for you to do when you come to Canada. I'll take you through
the
tunnels.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Now we got something to do. That's that'll be fun. Yeah. Mine was just pretty chill. Just we have a trip coming up this next weekend to Houston, Texas, of all places. But we decided to take it easy this weekend. So just chilling. Not a lot going on.
How did the big move go?
It is still in transition. But I've got most of my stuff moved over into the new house. Well, not newer place for me. It's been up for a while. But the big stuff, the furniture hauling and what have you, that's still that's gonna be a couple more weeks. Just too busy with my day job and everything else. And then, you know, the weekends are for, that's the last thing I want to do on the weekends is move heavy furniture. But it'll get done eventually. And eventually my studio setup will be better. And then that'll be it for the foreseeable future. So.
Now you said you're planning a trip to Houston. I know a fella from New Braunfels, Texas. Are you going to be running into him by any chance?
As a matter of fact, we are. We are absolutely going to do that. I cannot wait to meet that guy in person. I anticipate a very, very fun time. It's going to be a quick trip, but a fun one and a much needed getaway. Let's put it that way.
I'm jealous. We're talking about our mutual friend, Jeff Saunders, known in the podcasting world as Hillbilly Scribs. I guarantee he's going to show you a good time. I've been listening to his last couple of shows going through a kind of an Oktoberfest deal in New Braunfels. So I'm pretty sure Jeff is going to show you and your lady friend a hell of a good time.
Yeah, that's sort of his that's his yearly thing. That's his Disney World, so to speak, where he just goes complete ham. I wish the weekends we were going to be there correlated with that, because that would have been just a spectacular time for all. But regardless, yes, it's going to be a good time seeing him. It's going to be a good time at the show we're going to. We are going to a show by a group called The Midnight. I don't know if you know The Midnight. They're a band that they basically do a modern retro synthwave. If you were to listen to them, you would go, wow, this sounds very 80s, and that is by design.
Ooh, I like 80s.
Yeah, their whole aesthetic, the sound of their music, very much in vein of the synthwave of the 80s. They just lean into it so hard, and they bring it together in such a modern way that it's not cheesy, and even if it is cheesy, it's a good cheese. Like, it's a cheese you want to keep eating. And so the closest show they were coming here that wasn't sold out is over in Houston. So we jumped on that as soon as we could. So we're going to go see them, and we're going to see our buddy, and we are going to have a great time, I think. So that's,
I can't wait to get a full report from you on an upcoming show on your trip to Houston.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah. Full report will come in handy. So, but speaking of music from the 80s, this band Van Halen that we've been talking about for the last couple episodes, they have quite a few songs from the 80s, and I just wonder if we're gonna hear one of those songs tonight.
I dearly hope so. We've had two tracks, both from the first album, so and of course it's all random. We have a wheel, and actually, Mark, I was thinking we should maybe name the wheel. This is a pretty impressive wheel we've created here. I know you called it the Wheel of Rock in one show, and that's pretty good, but is there something maybe Van Halen-esque that we could name the wheel? That's something to think about for upcoming.
Yeah, shows. We have to really think about or like the Panama wheel or the something of that nature. Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, yeah, we have the wheel. We have 117 tracks left on it. I realized the other day that we were actually missing a track, so I put it on there. A Political Blues from OU812 is missing, which isn't a great song. I'm actually kind of sad I had to add it, but it's back on there. So if you're ready, sir, we're going to give it a couple of shuffles here.
Wouldn't that be ironic if you spin it?
That's the one. Yeah. And you know what? I say give us a Sammy song. We've had two Daves. Time for a Sammy. Speaking of Sammy, we'll throw it to him to get us going here.
Here we go!
Oh, this is going to be a good one. This is going to be a good one. Oh, got it bad. It's Hoffa Teacher, 1984.
Now, if you don't know this song, put away all of Van Halen's, their deep tracks or whatever songs you might know, you might come across and go, oh, right, that's Van Halen. You got to know Hoffa Teacher.
Oh, absolutely. This is one of the absolute classics. From 1984, their probably most well-known, certainly well-known Dave album. It's ironic, too. I was just finishing up the Noel, I can't remember his last name. He's the former manager of Van Halen. He started right after Van Halen 2 and managed the band right through 1984. And he talked about this era in Van Halen history, about how they were on the road so much and had to turn out album after album. They kept putting covers on because they couldn't write enough material. Because that was the way you did things at the time. And after Diver Down, which was kind of a throwaway album, they kind of did because A Pretty Woman hit, Eddie kind of holed himself away and just started working on 1984. And the band was very fractured at this point. Dave obviously was thinking about his solo career. Actually, it was during the tour for 1984 that he started playing the band California Girls, which would be on his EP, Crazy from the Heat, the following year. So he was already thinking about cheesy lounge singer type stuff. They took away Michael Anthony's like rights to all the. Well, they took away his rights from 1984 on. So they actually went retroactively back and took away his songwriting rights because he didn't write any of the songs, but he was getting a 1/4 share. So the band actually stripped that from him from 1984, which was their highest selling album at the time. So a very fractured band. But a very classic album. So it's really kind of interesting how, a lot of turmoil internally led to arguably maybe their best album.
Yeah, that's Noel E. Monk, I believe is the guy's name.
Yes,
thank you. The former manager. Yeah. Kind of ironic. You find you find the gem within the rubble, within the chaos. There's something there. Sometimes this happens. I find this happens in a lot of metal bands in particular, and maybe it's just because there's just by the nature of metal itself or rock, let's say rock and metal, dudes get angry. Dudes get angry at themselves. Sometimes it reflects in the music. So a lot of times, if you're looking for an album from a particular band and it sounds a particular way, it's a reflection of where the band is. So it's really funny that you say all that, how fractured they were for this album. And yet this album features the number one song that this band is known for. And it's not Hoffa Teacher, unfortunately, although Hoffa Teacher is most certainly, I think, in the argument for almost as popular, but by far their most popular song is on this album. So you would think that the band would be in their songwriting groove. They'd be in a good spot if coming up with material like this. But as you say, perhaps not. And it's really interesting. It's really interesting to hear that.
Yeah, actually, Hoffa Teacher only peaked at number 56 on the U.S. charts. So, kind of surprising. I think more known for its video, which I think maybe ushered a lot of young boys into manhood, if you remember how that video went back in 1984.
I don't know that I've seen the video. If I have, then it must have been a long, long time ago. I can imagine, just based on how the song goes, because I'm very familiar with this song, I can imagine what the video probably looks like.
Oh, it features a lot of scantily clad teachers in bikinis and stuff. It features the four members of the band trying to do a dance routine in maroon wedding style tuxedos. And it's most notable because Alex Van Halen has, for a drummer, has zero rhythm. Like, he danced horribly. So you want to watch the video for the gratuitous 80s TNA and for Alex Van Halen attempting to dance. There's your two reasons to get that on YouTube after the show here.
And some guys just can't have it all. You know, what are you going to do? You know, you take the good with the bad.
Absolutely. So, the songwriting is credited to all four members, even though Michael Anthony and Alex Van Halen, as far as I know, didn't really do a lot of the writing in Van Halen. Mm-hmm. It's basically Eddie Van Halen doing all the music, David Lee Roth doing all the lyrics, which this certainly sounds like a David Lee Roth penned lyrical composition. Produced by Ted Templeman, who did all their albums up through 1984. It's still a staple. I'm trying to think if Sammy ever did Hot for Teacher or not. I know he did like Panama and he did Jump reluctantly. I'm not sure if he ever did Hot for Teacher, but once Dave came back into the fold in 2012 on their kind of reunion tours, they did Hot for Teacher every night. This is one of the more popular tracks, even though it wasn't a big hit in Van Halen's arsenal. So what do you say? Why don't we give a listen to Hot for Teacher?
Absolutely. Let's hear old Alex Van Halen just kick it off with this this incredible drum solo, or the fill rather.
Now that's actually four bass drums, right off the hop here. And I'm not really a musician. This is where we got Mark here to fill us in here. Maybe tell us a little bit about how with the four bass drums and the double bass drumming, how that kind of works.
Well, I mean, it's a kick drum, so you know he's just he's kicking it in his particular rhythm. I'm not going to pretend to be the drum connoisseur, but and not to bore anyone with certain details, but yeah, it's just a lot of kicks. He's kicking it into rhythm. It sounds as if he's trying to emulate the starting of a motorcycle engine, perhaps. That's the vibe it gives off. I'm pretty sure that's probably what he was going for. And then, he comes in with the ride and the hi-hats and a little snare, a little jazzy. It's kind of jazzy when he starts to really play the full set, which is interesting because up until now, at least to my recollection, I don't know that Alex really sort of went off like that in other tracks. Certainly not the tracks we talked about.
No, everything from Van Halen 1 was quite reserved.
The
four bass drums, was that something he had to double, like he did two and then two and they doubled it up, or did he do all four live?
I would assume his setup. For a band like this, they're an arena band, and a lot of times I don't know, it probably never started with Alex, but the drummers usually have a whole set that's just like multiple pieces, probably more pieces than necessary for the drums. We're probably looking at, he's got two kick drums there for his double, whereas these days they actually, the pedals that they make for your bass drums, you can get them, your double bass pedals, they come in like with two mallets, so you don't have to have two actual big kick drums, but with these arena rock bands you always see two kick drums. Neil Peart, God rest him, he was surrounded by his drum set. But the difference between Neil and a lot of other arena rock drummers is Neil used every single piece. Every single piece. I defy you to show me a piece he didn't use. With Alex, I have to assume if he had that set up, he might have had four kick drums itself and then was just using like one mallet a piece. But I would have to see what he did. It sounds like that's what he's doing.
Awesome. Well, like you mentioned, it's a very iconic way to start a song. And I remember Howard Stern, for one, calls it one of the greatest intros to any song ever. He's a big fan of Hot for Teacher and a big fan of that intro. So
I would agree with him.
Let's keep it going. I think his brother Eddie is coming in here now with a little guitar work. Thank you.
Wait a second, man. What do you think the teacher's gonna look like this year?
Teacher, teacher, stop that screaming. Teacher, don't you see? No, I don't be no uptown fool. Maybe I should go to hell, but I'm doing well. Teacher needs to see me after school.
All right, so you know, there's our first verse, really. Your thoughts on Mr. Lee Roth and how he came in there?
Well, I mean, he's just total ham for this song. This is probably another one where it was we have this song, it sounds pretty rocking. We don't have any lyrics for it. What do you got, Dave? Like, I got nothing, man. I don't know. It's just like, okay, well, how does it make you feel? It's like, you know, it makes me feel like I'm in school and I want to ditch and I want to like get a load of my hot teacher. Like, oh, okay, just write that. Just write a song about how you want to fawn over your attractive teacher. No problem.
I think that's everything that every young male can kind of relate to.
I don't know. I never really had very many attractive teachers in my day. So perhaps, I don't know. I had maybe in college, but in high school, not so much.
Lyrics like, maybe I should go to hell, but I'm doing well. Teacher needs to see me after school. That pretty much sums it up. A little more involved maybe than a song like On Fire, which we had last week. Or even Running with the Devil, like you know, this song definitely has a theme. And he's going to ride it to the end.
There's definitely a theme. It's like I said, maybe once he was okay with the idea of was like, yeah, do a song where you're falling for your hot teacher or all that jazz. It's like, oh, okay, cool. And then he like started really finding his stride. Like, oh, okay, here we go. I'll say this and I'll say this. And before you know it, you got a verse, you got a chorus. And this, once again, I won't say is a less is more situation. I actually think he did it right this time around with his chorus that we're going to come up on. And he just kept it simple while also providing some melodic variances and all that jazz. But yeah, there's definitely a theme, and I think honestly they just wanted to do a song that sounded fun, and in their minds it's like, what's more fun than having the hots for your teacher? Oh, I don't know. Let's see what that sounds like.
Yeah, let's see what that sounds like here.
I think of all the education that I missed, but then my homework was never quite like this. Got it bad, got it bad, got it bad. I'm hot for teacher. I've got it bad, so bad. I'm hot for teacher.
I just love the spoken word section of this song. Like, I brought my pencil. And then the next line, give me something to write on, man. Like, it's classic David Lee Roth. Maybe there's a double entendre there. I brought my pencil. I don't know. What do you think?
I think there's no song he's ever done is not a double entendre. let's just get that out of the way. Clearly, listening to the song, even now, but it sounded like Eddie and Alex both had this riff, and they didn't know what to do with it. This is just us riffing. This is just us jamming. What have you got? And somewhere along the way, Dave was able to fit in, I've got it bad. I've got it bad. I'm hot for teacher. Like, it almost seems like maybe that, I take it back what I said earlier. I think maybe that's where it started. It's like, it sounds like this. Oh, okay, I can work with that. It starts with this one line that I've got it bad. I'm hot for teacher. It's like, any of you guys ever been hot for your teacher? Probably not as much as you, Dave. Well, I'm gonna write about it. Here we go. Let's do that. Let's give the schoolboys what an anthem for them. It's an anthem for the schoolboys. As weird as that sounds.
And you know what? Judging by Noel Monk's book, Dave is hot for everything. Man, woman, chicken. I don't think it really much mattered for Dave in the 1980s.
No.
Let's go back here and give him a listen. Give me something to write on. All right, now just before we go into the guitar solo, I want to talk a little bit about Alex, because Alex is described in a lot of circles as being a competent drummer. Good, not great. And the first two tracks we heard didn't have a lot of Alex. I don't really think Alex kind of stands out in this track. This is very much a showcase, I think, for his drumming. Mm-hmm. And I get the whole competent angle, but him and Michael Anthony just lock in so well together that, and that's really all you need from kind of your bass and your drums, isn't it?
I think he understands what the drums are supposed to be, just like Michael understands what the bass is supposed to be. Both of them are the foundation. And if you don't have a solid foundation, the structure crumbles. You don't have to be a showy drummer. I think that's always been Alex's strength. There was a time, I'll admit, years ago, there was a time where I thought, yeah, I love Van Halen, and I think I think Eddie is the greatest, but why is Alex kind of sucks so bad as a drummer? And I completely revoked that sentiment. I was but a child. Don't judge me, please. But no, I realize now it's like, no, it's not that he was bad. It's not that he's not bad at all. He is doing the job he's supposed to do. He's not trying to steal the show. He's like, that's Eddie's thing. I'm gonna let Eddie be showy because Eddie can be showy. He can do all that. I just have to make sure I come in on time, and also not for nothing, make sure that, the other boys, by that he means probably Eddie and Dave, like make sure they know when to come in, and that we, once they go off the rails, hey, we're getting back into rhythm. Here we are. Come on, you guys, cause Michael can only do so much by himself. This is like, no, Alex, we need you. Help us out. But this one is most especially a song, and I really can't think of any more. There probably are, and we'll go through them. But offhand, I can't think of any other ones where Alex gets to show out. This is definitely one of them. And I think that's maybe why I appreciate it a little more, because it made me eat my words from so many years ago. It's like, well, he's more than a competent drummer. I agree with that. He is a solid drummer, and he's letting himself be a bit showy. Him and Eddie both are being showy. And he's just like, let me have a little fun for once. Just one. Give me one song where I can have some fun. Like, okay, go ahead.
With all that said, now we're going to get a very showy guitar solo from Mr. Edward Van Halen.
Because you can't be more showy than Eddie. He's not going to let you do that.
All right, Alex is going to bust out the four bass drums for the intro. Well, listen to this. All right, your thoughts on that solo, sir?
You know what that sounds like to me? It's like Alex says, you get to be showy all the time, bro. Let me do my thing. And then we get to the moment of the solo. And Eddie's like, okay, take a step back. Here I go. And I think this one time, Alex said, no, let's see if you can keep up. And he's like, you know that I can. But it's like, okay, let's. So it just, that to me sounded like a competition of like, Alex is going to keep his sort of his jazz rhythm going. And Eddie's just got to play on top of it. Even when he switches it up, he does a little off tempo switch, and Eddie's not falling for it. So, you know, kudos to both of them. And I have to imagine that once they were done recording that, at least, or the first time they played it, Eddie always had this very this familiar grin. He had this trademark grin, always grinning on stage and playing whatever. I have to imagine him and Alex probably both just grinned at each other in that same way, going like, haha, I got you. But that's what it sounds like to me. And it's showy, but it's showy in the Van Halen sense that it's showy. And it's fun. It's delightful. I love it.
Little sibling rivalry. You got to like it. All right. Well, let's take it to the end of the song here.
Oh, man, I think the clock is slow. I don't feel turning.
That's my favorite line in the whole song. Like, I don't feel tardy because I have used that excuse before. It's like, Mark, you're tardy. And they're like, I don't feel tardy. I feel like I'm on time. I'm just not on your time.
Good call. One of my favorite lines as well.
Oh My God is right, because that song just kicks. It just kicks and it doesn't stop kicking. It's, man.
It's everything you love about Van Halen in, you know, just under 4 minutes.
Yeah. That's the funny part about it, is like that song could have easily gone just Eddie and Alex's stuff alone probably could have gone another 2.5 minutes. Just of them trying to be showy and show off, show one of the others out.
Luckily. I really like that. I like that perspective of the sibling rivalry, because there was quite a, you know, they're brothers, right? And
yeah,
if you have brothers, you know what it's like, and you fight at times, and they certainly fought at times. And that's some more great stories in the Noel Monk book that I just finished called Running with the Devil. I highly recommend it. So yeah, you know, this is their what, fifth album or something like that, you know, 1984, they've been in, you know, doing this for, you know, 5 years at that point, 6 years, I guess, recording and touring as Van Halen. You know, there's bound to be a little sibling rivalry. And, you know, I kind of like that dynamic in the song, because you kind of hear it. And that's really interesting.
It would be really weird, because they're certainly not the first siblings to be in a band together. And they are definitely not going to be the last. But sibling rivalries happen. And especially when you put when you get together in a setting like a band, because you're going to be fighting with everybody eventually. At some point, you're going to fight with everyone, because it's just you spend so much time around one another, and eventually you're going to clash. And with siblings, even if they had a really tight relationship, they're still going to have arguments. And now a band is a business. So they're certainly going to have disagreements. They're certainly going to have arguments and have it out. So I like to think that they were able to sort of get through that through the use of writing music or just jamming out and coming up with something great, like a song like Hot for Teacher. Pure speculation, mind you. But to me, when I hear this and when I hear all of that, that's what it sounds like to me.
And that's why you're here doing this podcast, sir. That's the kind of insight we're looking for. Now, this is going to seem quite academic, at least on my part for sure, but I'm giving this an unqualified... Oh yeah, this is
academic. All-time Van Halen. Was that a pun?
Oh yes, I totally meant to do that. Absolutely.
Very nice.
No, I wish I was that clever. This is one of my favorite Van Halen songs. I can't believe that we've had three great Van Halen tracks right off the hop. Like every time we spin the reel, I think, oh, is this gonna be something crappy off of OU812 or Balance, or are we getting our first Cerrone song? And no, we've had three Dave like Stone Cold classics here. Right in a row. How can you vote against Hot for Teacher? This song is fantastic. I'm giving it an absolute yeah. How about you, sir?
I said it at the top. Like, how do you not know Hot for Teach? How does anyone not know this song? I mean, even if you didn't know it was Van Halen, you know that there's a song out there called Hot for Teacher, and there's some kid out there that is like tuning into a classic radio station, probably by accident, and goes like, what the hell is this song? Oh, Hot for Teacher. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. They sound like they're having fun. And he's going to remember that song for the rest of his life because it's catchy. It's full of hooks. It's easy. I mean, it's easy to remember. You're going to remember a title called Hot for Teacher. You're going to remember Diamond Dave's howling and, you know, the rip-roaring solo of Eddie Van Halen. And then in this one especially, you got him and Alex just both just going ham in unison.
Now, I'm going to play a little bit of the video here for you. Unfortunately, we're a podcast. The people at home can't see it. But, yeah, there's the nerdy kid getting his hair done up from his mom as he heads off to school here.
He looks like a tiny nutty professor, you know, the Jerry Lewis version.
Yes, a little bit of Alfalfa maybe from the Little Rascals.
A little bit, yeah.
Boy, that dates me that I even know that reference. And I only know Little Rascals from like SNL in the 80s when Eddie Murphy was on and he did Buckwheat.
You never watched the classic Little Rascals?
I was never that old, no. Oh, there's Diamond Dave driving the bus. Back of the bus, Waldo, yep.
I mean, you know, I would catch some Little Rascals on like some AMC replays or something like that. But, you know, but I also watch the Three Stooges religiously.
And there's the intro and you see all the bad kids in the class, right?
Suddenly we went from like it was very like Leave It to Beaver type esque 50s style. And then now we're clearly in the 80s.
Big feathered hair looks on the girls there. Yeah. And there's our hero, Waldo. And, of course, each band member has their own, like, little kid. See, there's little Alex. There's little Mike, who looks just like Mike Anthony.
That's hilarious.
There's Tiny Ed.
Tiny Eddie. Little Eddie. Yeah.
So we're just extending the podcast here by watching the video, too. But this is such a classic 80s video that it's...
Yeah, I can't believe I never went back and watched this. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's the teacher.
Yeah. And there's the teacher, yeah.
Maybe a little inappropriate with the grade 8 boys ogling the girl in the bikini. But
yeah. I mean, this is very much a video of the era.
Yes.
Of whence it was made.
Yeah, the videos like this don't fly in today's climate, unfortunately. No. Oh, and here we're going to see them dance. Watch Alex in the middle.
This part would.
Yeah. Especially with Alex trying to dance. Now, he's probably drunk out of his gourd here because he had quite the drinking problem here. He's not quite in time.
So there you go. Maybe that was it. Maybe it's like, well, I could dance, but it's like not after a whole bottle of Jaeger.
Poor Waldo's not having a great day at school there.
I bet this kid that's playing like Little Dave was probably like, why? What in the hell are you dressing? Like, why am I wearing any of this? This is so dumb. Like, that's how Dave dresses, man. Like,
yep. Okay.
But then again, in the 80s, that was probably no biggie. It's like, oh yeah, of course he looks like this. That's cool.
Everybody dressed that way, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, they let Mike Anthony in the video. That was good.
And they let him keep that weird mustache. Like weird pencil thin kind of creep mustache.
Yeah. Oh, more dancing. I believe they called this Dave and the Pips when they were recording this.
Oh, you're right, man. Alex is just...
Poor guy. And I have similar... Yeah, I dance the same, so I feel bad for the poor guy. I love this tracking shot, though, of Eddie walking down the table doing a solo. That's what I remember from this video more than anything. Yeah,
that, and you know why, is because that move right there has been often imitated in various music videos of various different people. Like, I can think of about three bands offhand right now who have videos where they're doing this.
Yeah. And never as good. There's only one Eddie Van Halen.
This is true.
Oh, now our hero's in jail. Oh, see, the hourglass represents time. See? I don't feel tardy. There's your line. I don't feel tardy.
And, of course, little Dave.
Yeah.
There we go. Now we're back in color. It was in black and white the whole time, except for those dance sequences. But now we're all in color. Here comes bus driver Dave in a what looks to be a yellow hot rod.
With Hot for Teacher written on it. The Van Halen license plate. It's the
Hot for Teacher rod, which doesn't sound better.
Oh, Alex went on to become Dr. Van Halen, gynecologist, of course.
I think that's an Animal House reference.
Michael Anthony is currently a champion sumo wrestler in Tokyo, Japan.
Sure. Oh, poor
Edward Eddie. Van Halen is temporarily relaxing in a Bellevue Mental Ward and making progress. Well, good for him.
Why'd they make Eddie the crazy one?
No one's really sure what became of Waldo after graduation.
I mean, we can't ever find him. That's, you know, our whole culture is based on, you know, where is Waldo? Where is he?
And of course, Dave got to host a game show. And that's the video.
See, that sounds about right.
Yeah. All right, Mark. There, we've been through the song and then we heard it again while watching the video. Is there any parting thoughts on Hot for Teacher?
The parting thought is that, I mean, it's just, you already nailed it when you said it's an all-time classic song. It really is. It's one of the songs that it's one of my personal go-tos. If you say the name Van Halen, or if you ask me to name some tracks that I think are personal favorites, one of them that absolutely jumps to my brain immediately is Hot for Teacher, because it's the opening drum fill. It's Eddie coming in, just it's the riff itself, the main riff, the it's catchy. It's the hook, man. These guys just knew how to write hooks. I think that's what contributed a lot to their success. What I will say though, and I was gonna mention this after I gave my yay for Hot for Teacher, is as you pointed out, we've had now three great Dave era songs. I fear that the wheel is going to give us all the good ones like immediately, right out of the way. And the further we go in this show, it's going to give us some of the ones we don't want to hear, the ones we're not ready to talk about. And it's just going to just be like just a downward slope. I hope that is not the case, but I have a very strong fear. So
I share that fear because the format of the show, which we lifted from the fine folks at Pot of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, they broke down the entire Kiss catalog, and they had a lot of garbage right off the hop. And they were slogging through songs from The Elder and some of the worst, like, 80s tracks. They're like, oh, my God, this is terrible. But at least we have the good stuff coming. You and I are in a different boat. We're going through the good stuff early, and we might be stuck with a lot of not-so-great songs near the end of our run here. So you almost kind of hope for one of those maybe deeper cuts from like Van Halen 3 that maybe aren't so good, just so we know we're going to have some good stuff near the end of our run here.
Yeah, at least give us a Sammy song like for the next one, you know, just like, let's get some Sammy in there so that we can, you know, change it up. Because we can only bow down and bless the awesomeness of the early Van Halen era so hard before we just run out of things to say, or before it becomes just stale.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but we need some variety, and you know, Van Halen's got a lot of variety. So I would be very curious as to see at what point we get there, and then we might have just shot ourselves in the foot, because I think the wheel might just do us a not so solid for next week, and just completely go, "Oh, you want variety? Okay," and then boom, there it is—the the later years.
Yes, the wheel can be a fickle mistress, but she gave us an absolute classic tonight. I was just reading some tidbits on the video. There was an initial controversy arose when that video debuted, and it wasn't because of the ladies in the bikinis. It was by the band members grabbing their quick crotch grab during the so bad part of the chorus, to the point where the NBC late night show Friday Night Videos, which I remember watching as a kid, actually put censor bars over top of the band doing that crotch grab. So,
wow.
a different time, maybe, where the ladies in the bikinis dancing around for the Grade 8 boys, that's fine. But the crotch grabs, we can't have that. But this song was named the 36th best hard rock song of all time by VH1. And Chuck Klosterman of Vulture ranked it the sixth best Van Halen song of all time.
Wow.
Yeah, sixth best. So judging by those rankings, we knocked off. I would have to say Hot for Teacher might be in my top 10 all-time Van Halen songs. What about
you? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's one of my go-tos that I think about. It might be in my top five. I've never done that, actually. I've never put down a list of my top 10 or what have you of Van Halen tracks. That would be difficult. I could probably make a better or an easier list once we go through all the tracks as we're doing on the show. So when the show is over, maybe that's something we do. Maybe that's something we reflect on the episodes, and then we make our make a top 10 list.
I like that idea. That's a good idea. Yeah. I got to say, out of the three we've done, this is my favorite of the three.
Oh yeah. And and that's no disrespect to Running with the Devil whatsoever, because that's, yeah, you know, clearly a classic. But again, for me personally, and obviously for you too, it's not the one that I straight up go to when I think of Van Halen, but this one definitely is one. So, oh yeah, that'll about do it, man. That's the show. We got a third one in the bag. We are rocking and rolling, so to speak. And tell the good people where they can find you on the socials.
Well, they can find the show Podcast Will Rock on Twitter. You can find us on Spotify, on Anchor, and now I believe we're finally approved for Apple Podcasts. So we're slowly but surely getting out there. We're on Google Podcasts as well. So all sorts of ways to catch the show. And you can find me personally at CD Morset. Go ahead, drop us a tweet. Give us your thoughts. We're certainly not Van Halen experts. If you know more about these tracks and you want to impart some knowledge on us, by all means, this is just our opinion. And we'd love to hear yours as well. Mark, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mark the Bat. I'm around. I know I've got some people in my world that definitely want to be a part of the show. They'll have some things to say. Once I told them the format, though, I said, well, you can't choose the song. So we spin the wheel. So that might be difficult. But there's still some enthusiastic folks. So before long, we'll have guests with us. We'll have more thoughts, more interpretations, and I can't wait for that, and I can't wait to see what the wheel has in store for us next week. It is all the spin of the wheel, and with that, I'm going to bid you all a good day, a good night. This is And the Podcast Will Rock, and on behalf of Corey and myself, we will rock you later.